Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many people confuse angelic visitations with demonic dalliances. Today's program will help you understand the difference, a difference that's more crucial than ever as more and more people are being deceived when they try to communicate with angels. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series, A Flurry of Wings, Dr. Lutzer brings part two of a message on what angels know. In Isaiah chapter 6, angels worship a holy God. Here, we learn one thing they know.
Now look at who was it that those angels were honoring. You say, well, that's very clear. I saw the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, as it is in the Hebrew text. That's who they saw. Well, you're right. But you know who that was? It was Christ. It was Christ. Look at John chapter 12. Jesus is having a spirited discussion with the Pharisees, and they're trying to figure out who he really is. And it says in verse 37, but though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. And then I want to pick it up in verse 40. There's too much here in the text to comment on. Pick it up in verse 40. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. That's right out of Isaiah chapter 6, the passage I just told you about. Verse 41, these things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him, Christ. That was Christ whom the disciples were honoring. When they were there saying, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory, they were speaking about Jesus. They saw him high and lifted up. Now you can understand why their wonder is increased, because now they are going to see him low and despised. We're back in Luke chapter 1. And this is where it says now, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. Verse 32, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Aren't you intrigued by the way the Bible just throws things out for us to ponder and think about? Notice that Jesus is the Son of the Most High. We get that clear. But he's also looked at as the one whose father is a man by the name of David. Well, how can that be? Well, it can only be if the Father, if Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father, God, becomes a part of the human family. And that's exactly the message that Gabriel was on his way to present here to this virgin. What he was saying to her is, you are going to be the mother, and because David is your great-great-great-great-grandfather, in effect, the child that you bear, David, will be his father. He will be a man. And what a mystery. And you see, the disciples know how far Christ came. They saw him in his glory. They saw him fill the whole universe with his beauty. And they were singing his praises. And now suddenly they hover over Bethlehem and they see this infant in the crib and they see him there and they are filled with incredible astonishment and amazement. No wonder there are some things that they long to look into. Do you think that the angels were fascinated with Christ's life on earth? I want you to know that moment by moment, they were constantly hovering near him. Here is Jesus who is out 40 days and 40 nights and he's fasting. And after that time, he is hungry and then he has that altercation with the devil. And it says that when the devil departed, angels came strengthening him. They were there. They were there. And then we come to Gethsemane, where Jesus is on his knees and saying, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And the disciples are thinking to themselves, Jesus, get out of this. How can you be both the man of glory and the man of suffering? It isn't right that the Son of God should be spat upon and humiliated and tormented. Get out of this! And that, of course, is the way we as people who live in America reason. Where is the escape hatch? Deliver me! And Jesus said, no, I have to keep back the angels. I could call 10 legions of angels, hundreds of thousands, and they would deliver me just like that. But I need to restrain them. I will not call on them because it is needful that I suffer. And the angels saw it all. They saw it all. And they wondered in amazement. And then we come, of course, to the resurrection of Jesus. And who is at the tomb to announce the news but angels? And who is there when Jesus is ascended on high on the Mount of Olives but angels accompany him? And then they will be with him when he returns to earth and finally fulfills this prophecy, by the way. I don't think the prophecy has been fulfilled. You know, this is a very controversial statement where it says, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and he will reign over the house of David forever. Some people say, well, that throne is in heaven. That's what it means. Jesus is going to rule over the house of David in heaven. He's got a throne up there somewhere. Well, bless him, he does have a throne in heaven, but the house of David and the throne of David seems a very earthly kingdom. That's why some of us actually believe that during the millennial kingdom, Jesus is still going to rule from this earth, from the city of Jerusalem, though he has a glorified body, and though we have glorified bodies, there is going to be a population in planet earth that does not have glorified bodies, and there will be that interaction, just as there was with Jesus after the resurrection, he and his disciples, and that someday he will still rule from the city of Jerusalem. You say, well, you believe that? Yeah, I believe that because I don't think this prophecy has been fulfilled. But my point this morning is simply that angels will be there. They will accompany him. Will you remember that angels are fascinated with Christ because they saw him high and exalted, and they saw him low and humiliated, and they knew how far down he had come. Secondly, angels are also interested in us. They know us. Let's pick up the text now. Mary says in verse 34, how can this be since I am a woman, or rather a virgin, rather? How can this be since I'm a virgin? I take this, by the way, that she is not asking in unbelief. There are some people who say, see, she didn't believe. Notice that she's not saying, I don't believe this will happen, but she's saying, I don't understand how it can happen since I am a virgin. And so the angel explains, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. How can this be? The answer is, with God, nothing is impossible. And then the beautiful response, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And then angels did what angels always do when their job is done, so that they do not divert attention from God. Gabriel departed. Now let's look at this beautiful, beautiful ascent of obedience. The angel Gabriel presents the news. Mary accepts it and says, I am the bond slave of God. And on the one hand, a great honor. On the other hand, as always is the case, with a great honor, great pain. Her friends will not understand. You read the Gospels, you discover that Jesus is constantly being accused of having been born out of wedlock, and her friends did not understand it. Perhaps her close ones did, but there are many people out there. She lived with those rumors, and then she had to live to see her son die such a horrible death. She went through the whole experience, but she said, I am your bondslave. Now here's my point today. Gabriel saw her response. And if she had had a different response, if she had said, no, absolutely, I'll have nothing to do with that, he would have observed that response too, because angels see our obedience and they also see our disobedience, and constantly they see both. You know, here at the Moody Church, we believe that The role of elder in the church should be held by men. And we get some criticism for that because there are those who think that there should be women elders. And I don't want to get off into this morning, but since I'm now walking on this branch, I'm going to walk just a little farther until it creaks beneath my feet. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, when he is discussing the role of women in the church, even says women should be veiled to show submission. And actually, we do not require veiling because we think that it's the submission that was the important part. But you know, when he is giving reasons for it, he just throws in a statement that I've often pondered. He says, for this reason, women should have that symbol of subjection. He says, because of the angels. You know, I'm reading and I'm saying, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, because of the angels. You know, some of you are looking at me as if to say, I think Pastor's making this up. Look, you take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And notice what he says in verse 10. Just in case you think I didn't have enough sleep last night. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Incidentally, if anybody asks you what Moody Church's position is on these things, say, yeah, we believe thus and so. And if they say why, say, well, you know, it's because of the angels. You know, that'll probably slow them down for a moment or two. What is my point? The reason that Paul includes that is he has seen disorder, he has seen rebellion, and angels have witnessed their own original rebellion and the fall of man in the garden. And therefore, Paul says, even the angels are observing your worship. And that's my point today.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and perhaps you remember that story in the Old Testament where Elijah was actually a Dothan. Dothan happens to be the spot, by the way, it's the place where Joseph was thrown into a pit. But many centuries later, Elijah is there with his servant, and the servant is afraid because the enemy is coming. And Elijah prays and says, "Oh Lord, open his eyes." And when his eyes were opened, he saw chariots surrounding them. They were angels. And the whole idea is that those who are with us are more than those who are against us. It is really interesting to ponder what would happen if our spiritual eyes were open, if we could see into the spirit world. It's good we can't, by the way, because we would not only see good angels, we'd also see evil angels, and we'd be very, very distracted. But it is wonderful to know that even angels desire to look into the things of God, and angels desire to see us worship. Let's worship well, for God's glory, and for their interest.
Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of a message on what angels know, the second in a series he's entitled, A Flurry of Wings, A Study of Angels. Next time on Running to Win, we'll find out more about how angels see the pride we as humans try to hide. Better understanding angels helps us dispel the misinformation out there about who they are. Our series on A Flurry of Wings can be yours on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.